This is Sports Talk on CKLW, and this is our National Hockey League preview. Bill McGraw, the Free Press, is in our studios trying to track down Vartan Kapilian, who's up in Winnipeg getting ready for the Wings opener tomorrow night. I don't know where he might be at this time, but if we track him down, fine. If not, we've got plenty of hockey expertise in the room anyway, and Bill McGraw. Bill, welcome to the show. Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to see you, George. Skip also.
Thank you.
We've had a few talks when I was over at the other station, and I always enjoyed having you as a guest. The thing I got to ask you is about the Sunday paper. You're not a headline writer, but Wings outlook cloudy before a story that you wrote, and it certainly was a good headline for your story. We're excited about the Wings. I think a lot of people are. Island bet Bill McGraw is, but you still have your reservations about whether they're going to win or not, don't you?
Right. I wouldn't say I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the season. It's always interesting in one way or another. But I think the headline, which the writers don't write, of course, did accurately reflect my story, that the Wings have changed a lot. They got 14 new players from this time last year, but they still have so many question marks, so many things have to go right. Three rookies on a team who are teenagers. I shouldn't say three are rookies. Two rookies, they're teenagers. One rookie, Calicchio, who's the center of their top line. So there's a lot of questions to be answered, which we'll start finding out the answers tomorrow night.
You know, Bill, George asked Nick Pilano the other night, how much do you think you've improved percentage-wise? If you had, what did he say, 3% maybe, 4%.
Yeah. So, right. Now, that's not a lot. That's pretty honest for a coach.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the feeling I was going to try to get from you, that he says it's a long process. He says, we're not going to try to fool anybody. Our first goal is to try to make the playoffs. Now, my question, can they make the playoffs?
If they were in almost any other division, it would almost be a no, I think. But they're in the Norris division, and they've got St. Louis and Toronto ahead of them.
That's both, another subject, too, St. Louis.
Right, but both of which seem to be a little stronger than the Wings on paper. But it's totally different playing. As Danny Gare pointed out in that story Sunday, it's such a long season. Mm-hmm. So many things happen. If Paul Mateer gets hurt in Toronto, things would look better for the Wings. If Boreas Salmon gets hurt, he's certainly the stabilizer of their defense. So many things could happen if the Wings can stay healthy, play well. They almost beat out Toronto last year, and it could happen again. But as you see, I'm hedging. I don't know. I just don't think you can say that it's definitely going to happen. And Pilano and Devolano don't say it's going to happen. That's what they hope for.
Bill, they paid a lot of money for Brad Paulk. Paid an awful lot of money. In fact, they gave up some pizza parlors, too, to him.
Exactly.
Is he worth that, being the coach on the ice as well as off the ice, helping with the younger people? Do you think he's going to be worth the money?
I think so for this year anyways.
Okay.
Last year, of course, he played in Boston with an excellent team, a young team, really tough team, a really fine defensive team. Overall, the forwards play very well defensively, and, of course, a great goaltender in Pete Peters.
Yeah.
He's coming to Detroit with a totally different team. Nothing's the same in Detroit. The ice rink is bigger, but he probably will certainly improve their power play, as he seemed to during the preseason. They moved the puck a little better. During the game against the U.S. Olympic team, he set up a very nice goal with Ron Duguay and Calicchio. He's very smart, and he is a really good guy both on and off the ice. So I think he's going to help.
Talk about the change in the face of this team. There have been some significant changes.
Oh, sure have been.
What's Bill think about it in a positive way, and what maybe doesn't he like about them? We'll do that in just a moment. Our telephone number, by the way, if you've got a hockey question, is 298-6080. That's the Detroit number. 313 is the area code. The Windsor number is 519-792-8000. Let me give you those one more time so you can get involved in our National Hockey League preview. 298-6080 is our Detroit number. 313 is the area code. 792-8000 is the Windsor number. You can put a 519 in front of that.
Lee Iacocca asked his engineers to build a sports car. Remember, the competition is good. We've got to be better. Chrysler creates Laser. With optional fuel-injected turbo, 15-inch road wheels and tires, and handling suspension, Laser XE proved itself in USAC sports car certification tests against 1983 competitors. Make it fast. We did. 0 to 50 Laser beats Camaro Z28, Trans Am, Toyota Supra, Mazda RX-7. Make it handle. We did. In the slalom, Laser finishes first. Give it a brain. We did. Laser XE's onboard computers monitor more vital functions than its competitors. Make it right and back it with a powertrain and out-of-body rust-through protection plan for 5 years or 50,000 miles, whichever comes first. We did. This excludes leases and there are deductibles on these limited warranties. Your dealer has the details. Chrysler's new Laser XE. The competition is good. We had to be better.
Excuse me, you're in costumes.
Costumes? You got tilt wheel steering on your GM car?
Tilt wheel to rent a costume?
Sure, it adjusts up, down, costs so little, yet adds up to $100 in value at resale, according to many used car guides.
But tilt wheel to rent a costume?
Look, big costumes are in. Without tilt wheel, you get to rent our truck.
Your truck?
And boy, is that expensive.
I've got tilt wheel.
And I've got the costume for you, Dumbo.
What?
I mean, I've got the costume for you, Dumbo.
Oh, cute.
Just put your tilt wheel all the way up. Else your ears get caught in the steering wheel.
Ears?
Tilt wheel for GM cars does so much at cost.
For a change, I'm serving my family something really special for lunch.
I love Habito.
Hot and wholesome, steeped in tradition. Soup that's faithful to the original 100-year-old recipe.
I love Habito pea soup.
Made with the choicest of peas, seasoned and simmered slowly to capture all the goodness.
I love Habito pea soup.
Ah, Habito pea soup in the distinctive yellow can. What a delicious change from ordinary soup.
You've got Sports Talk on CKLW, and we're happy to have Bill McGraw of the Free Press as our guest on this segment of the show. It's our National Hockey League preview show, and mostly Wings, naturally, because that's what's happening in this city. And Bill's on the Red Wing beat for the Free Press. The trade with New York and the two rookies and the people who came up from the minor leagues are what I really meant when I previewed before we broke away for a commercial, the new faces on the Wings, because they're the ones that are being new faces since last season ended. Skip already asked you about Brad Park. How about the trade, first of all? What did you like about it, and what didn't you like about it?
What I didn't like about it was giving up Mark Osborne. One good year, one excellent year as a rookie. He had a very bad year last year. He's very big, plays left wing. He's had an excellent training camp for the Rangers, I understand. Mm-hmm. Better than Blaisdell and Huber did. And Huber's hurt, by the way. He won't start the season tomorrow. He's not hurt badly, but he's going to be out for a couple games with back spasms. Barry Beck also is hurt. So they're two. They traded to get this big defense,
yeah.
And their big defense is not going to start the year. Mm-hmm. But it's nothing serious for either player. So that's what I didn't like about it, because I think Osborne can turn into a really good player. I think Blaisdell and Huber have had their chances to show if they were going to be really good players. And I don't think either of them will be really good players. On the other hand, what is good about it is for the Wings, they improve their goaltending without a doubt. Eddie Mio, well, I think he's a journeyman goalie. He's not an all-star goalie, but he's going to stabilize what was last year not a stable situation with two rookies in the Nets. So I think they're helped in goal. Duguay helps him with speed. He's a proven goal scorer, although he slumped to 19 last year. He scored 40 2 years ago. And he's got a lot of speed. He really helps on both, especially on killing penalties. He wins face-offs. So he'll help that way. And Eddie Johnstone helps by another good, solid NHL player, a proven player. He plays in the corners. And people forget, he was hurt last year. But the year before that and the year before that, he scored 30 goals. And that was more than most of the players on the Red Wings except John O'Gronick scored last year.
Yeah, he does seem like the forgotten man in this trade, and he's a little more important. The question I do have concerning the goal, though, Bill, is that Mio had a little better defense over in New York. Now, and he is a journeyman, and even I don't think Polano alluded to the fact, but I think Stefan outplayed him in the exhibition games right now. So, is the problem solved there? That's the big question.
Well, that's what I mean about questions answered. In other words, I think goaltending has improved, whereas last year, at times, both Stefan and Mikulov played.
Right.
Well, they played really well at times, too, but they also played very poorly at times. So I just think it's stabilized a little bit that Mio he's played under pressure. He's played very well in the playoffs. The Rangers playing the Flyers. That's a pretty heavy series in that part of the country. Hockey fans would know it, but it's a lot of intensity, and he's done very well in those type of games. So he's got some experience that those guys didn't have.
You know, George, I think that is the big point, and as you know, too, any play Park, too, that they played it in the playoffs, and you have that experience, and it's invaluable, and before you, you know, like, start to run, you have to walk in to get to the playoffs, and then hopefully the next series and next series, but to have these kind of people with experience, I think, is the best thing, too, out of the trade.
Right. That's one thing. When you look over the Wings roster now, at players like Danny Geer, mm-hmm. Ron Duguay, Brad Park, Ivan Boldarev, they've got some more NHL names sprinkled through the lineup mm-hmm. that they, in the past several years, they didn't have that many names, really experienced guys sprinkled through the lineup.
How about the rookies? Will they help, Yzerman and Lambert?
That's really unclear. Both played fairly well during exhibition season. On the other hand, they just haven't been exposed to an 80-game NHL season. They haven't been exposed, and neither of them are very big. They haven't been exposed to the constant hitting, to the real thing. You know, they haven't played in a real NHL game yet. That'll start tomorrow night. But both of them have proven that they deserve a shot. Mm-hmm. And the Wings certainly haven't ruled out sending them both back to their junior teams, which is where they'd go. But they're certainly going to start the season.
You know, Polano was talking about that the other day, Bill, and he was mentioning that he hates to throw these young ball players in here so fast. But he really doesn't have anybody down below
exactly.
to come up to fill those spots.
Both Lambert and Yzerman might be really good NHL players someday, but they're only 18 and 19 years old, and if it was almost any other team but the Red Wings, they wouldn't be starting in Detroit, I'm sure, and which is no slam against them because they're only 18 and 19 years old, and I think Murray Craven would not be playing left wing for the Red Wings if they were a little deeper at left wing.
How about Brian Johnson? Would he play on a lot of teams in the National Hockey League? He's made news here. And I think it's great that it's sure. about time there's a black hockey player for the Red Wings, and I hope that he's very successful. I know he's supposed to be a great guy. Is he, though, a National Hockey League player on a lot of other teams?
Most teams, no. There's almost no other team he'd be able to play for, I'm sure. He scored 6 goals in the American Hockey League last year, just 6. And I think he had 16 assists in fairly much a full season, over 60 games. So he certainly has had his chance in the minors. And
tough customer, though, isn't he?
He's a very tough customer. He is a really good guy, but he's not a very good hockey player.
And how about Kelly Kisio?
Kelly Kisio is a really interesting story. He has scored a lot of goals at every level of hockey, which is European, junior, and minor hockey. He scored 62 goals in Dallas to lead the Central Hockey League a couple years ago. He was in Dallas because the Red Wings, that time Jimmy Skinner, decided he had no future with the Wings, and they shipped him off to Dallas with Brian Johnson and Bill Hogebaum. And he did extremely well there, and Danny Belisle, the assistant Red Wing coach now, was the coach down there. So that's one of the reasons why Kisio got a break with the Wings. He was fed up with the situation, went and played in Switzerland last year, and was second overall in scoring there in the Swiss League. So now he's, for the first time, full season in NHL. He played 15 games at the end of last season, scored 4 goals. He says himself he didn't think he played very well, but he's used to the different level of play in the NHL compared to where else he's played now. He had an excellent training camp. He was a highlight, according to everybody who watched, including Polano. And we'll see how he does when he's in the NHL for 80 games. He's between two pretty good guys, Ron Duguay and John O'Gradnik.
This guy's got a wealth of knowledge, doesn't he?
He certainly does. Let's go back to the enforcer. Okay,
it's Brian Johnson you're talking about.
Exactly. That's his role. I don't think anybody's kidding anybody why he's here.
And he won't play every game either.
Exactly. And Nick even said that. He's our man that's going to take care of business. And it seems that the teams that win, Bill, they have this person on their team.
Well, true. The NHL has moved out of the goon era. There's no doubt about that. From the mid-70s when the Flyers won 2 Stanley Cups. But there still is that element. Fighting is still a part of the game, however absurd it appears to some fans. And teams like, if you even look at the Islanders, they've got guys who you would call policemen or, in another
Nystrom.
Sense, goons. Right, but Nystrom can play. He's a tough customer, but he's an excellent right winger, although I guess he's playing left wing this year. He's scored some really clutch goals for him. Gillies is an excellent player who's big and tough and strong. You look at Chicago, they got 3 guys who would scare most opponents. Kurt Frazier, Al Secord, and they traded this year for Ben Wilson, who is one of the scariest guys in the NHL. But all those guys can play. Those guys are all bona fide hockey players.
Let's get Vardin Kapelian involved in our discussion. He's up in Winnipeg already getting set for the season opener. Bill McGraw's here, and I know you want to get with it too, and be patient if you're waiting on the line. We'll get to your phone calls. It's 7:32. This is Sports Talk on CKLW.
Catch the fast break of the 1983 season of NBA basketball starting in October from the flagship of the Detroit Pistons, AM 800, 50,000 watts CKLW.
What game has $700,000 in prizes? What game do you watch on CBC Saturday Night Hockey to see if you've won? It's the Esso Hockey Stars TV Cash Game. Just collect TV game cards at participating Esso stations. You may be an instant winner. See details and get your free 50-cent gas coupon in the newspaper October 5th. And with coupons redeemed, Esso will contribute to the Canadian Amateur Hockey Association. The Esso Hockey Stars TV Cash Game starts October 3rd.
You make us better, you do. Esso, you do.
I'm a pretty organized kind of guy. I like to shop in as little time as possible. A&P fits my style perfectly. Everything's well laid out. Checkouts are really efficient. Parking's always ample. Oh, and I like the money A&P saves me as much as the time.
You do better and much better. Friendly A&P.
Mind you, I spent more time in the deli last week because there's a new smile there. You just hate to rush.
You like a better service because we want you back next week. You do better and you're gonna like it better.
Friendly A&P. Sports Talk on CKLW. This is our National Hockey League preview. Barton Kapilian's already in Winnipeg. Bill McGraw of the Free Press is going up there tomorrow. Barton covering the Wings again for the Detroit News. And I know being a hockey man through and through, Barton, you're happy about that, aren't you?
I'm looking forward to it, George. It's going to be fun again.
Is this the kind of a team that very well could be fun? We talked to Bill, and it's kind of like nobody really knows for sure. And I say I'm excited about the Wings because they look like they've made some nice changes and they got some interesting people. But those of you who are very, very close to hockey, maybe as Bill said, excited might be too strong a word. Would you go along with that?
No, I don't think I would. You know, I look at the team, and they look like they are going to be a little bit of fun. I suppose it's easy to say we just sit back and watch and see, wait and see what happens. And I do think it's going to take some time for the team to come together. You know, they've got 14 new players, and they've got a few kids who probably should be in junior hockey, and they've got a new goalie, and they don't have a single line intact from last year. You know, everybody's playing with new people. And so I think, you know, I think it's going to take them a while to, you know, to play as lines and as a team. But I think I can look ahead to 20, 30, 40 games and think that this is not going to be a bad hockey club. What you have to do, I think you have to compare them with the teams they're going to be competing most directly against. And we're talking about Toronto and St. Louis. And you look at the Wings, and I got to believe, on paper and on the ice, they're as good as Toronto or St. Louis on defense, as long as they keep Brad Park healthy. And I also think they're as good as those teams right now in goal, unless Mike Liut he reverts back to his form of three seasons ago in St. Louis and becomes a super goalie again. I think the Wings are as good as the other two teams in goal. So that's two out of three positions. And we all know that where the Wings are lacking right now is up front, in goal scoring. They've got to score some goals. But I think if you're strong on defense, which this team has a very good chance of being strong, and you have to be strong in goal. I think in hockey it all starts in goal. And the Wings are going to be better in goal. I don't know how much better, but they are going to be better in goal.
Barton, is the Red Wings a playoff team?
That depends on whether the other teams are playoff teams. You know, I think that if all the right things happen, they could be a playoff team. I think, but you know, they need some surprises. They need some good things to happen to them. You know, no doubt about that. They've got to have some guys. They've got to get big years from Kelly Kissio and Murray Craven and Steve Yzerman. If Yzerman becomes a player right away, I think they could be a playoff team.
Okay.
You know, I look at Toronto and I look at what one or two players did to Toronto the final 48 games of last year. I mean, they just turned them right around. And what if those two or three players are not the players they were for 40 games last season. You know, Toronto could go back the other way. So I think, you know, if those sorts of things happen, you know, the Wings could be a playoff team. I don't see why they can't be.
Let's take some phone calls.
It's going to be easy. I don't mean to infer that, you know, fourth place is locked up, maybe third place. I think they're still the underdog. I still think they're the team that, you know, has to catch the other teams. But I think it could happen.
To the phones on a National Hockey League preview, Barton Kapelian of the News and Bill McGraw of the Free Press are our guests. Bill's heading out for Winnipeg tomorrow. Barton's already there, and the Wings are going to do the opening of the season tomorrow night in Winnipeg. Hi, you're on the radio with George and Skip and Barton and Bill McGraw, and thank you for waiting.
Thank you, George and Skip. This is Greg from Detroit.
Yeah, Greg.
And, well, I had two questions for Bill, but since Barton showed up, I think I'll divide it up.
All right.
Bill, my question for you is something that occurred yesterday. Dale McCord was left unprotected by the Buffalo Sabres. Some people around town think, well, maybe the Wings should have claimed him. What's your opinion on that?
Well, McCord's got some talent. He loses more speed every year as the league gets faster. He's got a big contract. They spent a lot of money for Brad Park. And I agree with Pilano that McCord is not the type of guy you want to build a franchise with, and that's what they're interested in doing here. On the other hand, he also said that he might help them for the short run. For the short run, he might have helped them. He's better than a couple of their centers right now. It was a tough question. The Wings certainly were tempted by McCord, and if it wouldn't have been for the money, I'm sure they would have picked him up.
Okay. And, Barton, during the summer, the NHL, for the first time in well over 40 years, will now have overtime following a regular season game. Jimmy Devolano is not too gung-ho about it, and rightfully so, because Detroit being a weak team. But are you in favor of overtime?
No, because I got it right on deadline. I mean, if you're talking about 2 minutes between the end of regulation and the overtime, and if it goes five more minutes plus stoppages and play and whatnot, that's an extra 7 minutes. You know, when you're on a tight deadline like Bill and myself will be at, you know, 10 o'clock at 10:15, those extra 15 minutes are just awful. And I just assume they ended the game. I like the line from Wayne Gretzky, you know, game's supposed to be 60 minutes. It's not supposed to be 65 minutes. And perhaps that's a traditionalist point of view, but I think I would tend to agree. It's supposed to be a 60-minute game.
Okay, but if you were not a writer, let's just say a regular fan, then would you agree to it?
If I were a fan, I would like it. If I were a writer, more of a purist and traditionalist, I would say no.
Okay.
Strictly from that standpoint, I would say no. I think there's nothing wrong with the tie hockey game. I think there are a lot of, I think sometimes the most exciting part of a hockey game, you know, a 1-1 hockey game can be the last 10 minutes. I mean, the argument is that, well, if you have to play overtime, neither team is going to sit on the tie game because they know they got to play. Well, what's to keep them from sitting on the tie game in the extra 5 minutes? I mean, let's face it, if you play for a tie in the final 5 minutes of regulation, you're going to play for a tie in the 5 minutes of regulation. There's nothing to guarantee the road team not sitting on it, or vice versa.
Good point.
If a team is going to try to win the game, they're going to try to win the game in the last 2 minutes of regulation. They're not going to sit on it. So, I mean, what's going to happen is you're going to get into the final 2 minutes of the overtime, and teams are going to be sitting on it. They're going to say, well, we've got to do the first 3 minutes of the overtime, so let's sit on for the final 2 minutes. I don't think that's going to change that part of it at all.
Okay, well, gentlemen, thank you, and keep up the good work. And, Bill, I really enjoy your hockey notes every Wednesday. I look forward to that. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Again. All right. Thanks, Greg, for the call.
Vaughn and Bill, overtime means more minutes on the ice. Players get tired. Are they going to be more susceptible to injury because of being on the ice so much now and being tired?
I mean, you're talking, if you're asking me, Wings played, what, 15 overtime games last year.
Mm-hmm.
If every one of them goes the duration of 5 minutes, that's 15 times 5. And although I'm not a math major,
75.
It comes to about 75 minutes, which is, you know, another game. So you add another game to the schedule. That shouldn't cause any more injuries or any other problems that I can see.
Bill?
It seems insignificant to me, too. I can't imagine. They're supposed to be in good shape, and 5 minutes or 3 minutes, it's not going to make a difference.
We'll be right back to take some more calls for Bill McGraw of the Free Press and Barton Kapelian of the News.
This is the NHL preview on Sports Talk on CKLW.
The Detroit Red Wings return to regular season action this Saturday night at the Joe Louis Arena at 7:30 against the New Jersey Devils. Everyone attending this Saturday's Wings opener will receive a beautiful Red Wing lapel pin. And in pregame ceremonies, the Joe Louis Arena will be officially dedicated. Be a part of this fun night. Tickets are now on sale at the Joe Louis box office, Hudson's, and all CTC outlets. Choice seats are still available for the season. For season and ticket information, call 567-9800. 567-9800.
All right, let's take some more phone calls. You're on Sports Talk on CK. This is our NHL preview with Bill McGraw of the Free Press. And in Winnipeg, Barton Kapelian of the News.
Hi, Skip. Hi, George. How are you?
Just fine. Hey,
who's calling?
Matt from Southfield.
How you doing?
Pretty good. It's a joy to listen to you. I listen to you every day coming home from Wayne.
Thank you.
Bill McGraw, you out there?
I'm right here.
Barton, I don't know of you. Bill, I wanted to ask you a couple questions about the trade that the Wings made with the Rangers. I just wanted to basically give you my opinion.
He only reads the Free Press. Go ahead.
I thought it was very good that the Wings got rid of Huber, because I saw Huber as being a player that was going to sit and not work his body into the game. And I didn't see him really trying for the Red Wings. And I think that with Blaisdell, that was happening too. And I think that the reason they got rid of Osborne was because he was going to start falling into that category also. Seeing that Osborne was doing it and Huber doing it, but they just got into that lackadaisical sort of a feeling and they didn't play hard. I was wondering what your opinion was about that.
Well, as we were saying earlier about the trade, I think for the Wings, it was too bad they had to give up Osborne. I agree with you about Blaisdell and Huber. They got three solid players and three players who are going to help them this year, I think. But we'll know much more at the end of the season on a trade that's close like that.
Yeah. Why didn't the Wings go after John Van Boxmeer from Buffalo? He was left unprotected, and he scored at least, I think it was 20 or 30 goals last year?
Well, I think one reason would be his contract also. He's a veteran who's had a good career. He's kind of towards the end of it now. He's a big ticket item, just like Brad Park was, and I just don't think they felt they need the high-priced help on defense like they would, say, at left wing.
Yeah, he is a left wing.
All right, thank you, Matt, very much for the call. We're trying to get a few more on here on our NHL preview. Hi, you're on Sports Talk on CK with George and Skip and Barton Kapelian of the News and Bill McGraw of the Free Press. Hello, you're on the radio.
Hello, this is Chris from Detroit.
Yeah.
I'd just like to know, do you think getting rid of Jim Schoenfeld really, what'd it do for the team?
Barton?
Do you think they should have kept Jim Schoenfeld?
Barton?
I think Bill could probably answer that question better because he covered the team for the 2 years that Schoenfeld was there. I think he'd probably give a better answer.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to hurt the Wings getting rid of him, although he may do a little better in Boston with the smaller ice surface and the better defensive team than he did in Detroit. One of the reasons Schoenfeld is gone is he complained a lot at the end of the year when he wasn't playing. And he was one of the people Polano talks about who was not happy to be a part of the team when he was not on the team, actually. And because of his complaining, and he just didn't get along with Polano, and that's one of the reasons he's gone. But also, he was hurt a lot in Detroit. He was caught out of position a lot in Detroit. Remember last year he played left wing even. And by the way, John Van Boxmeer is a defenseman, not a left winger, as our last caller pointed out, or said, I should say. So I don't think getting rid of Schoenfeld is going to hurt the Wings, especially with the addition of Brad Park.
All right, and also I'd like to say I'm glad Willie Huber's gone.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. See if we can get one more on here. Hi, you're on Sports Talk on CKLW with Barton Kapelian of the News and Bill McGraw of the Free Press and George and Skip.
How you doing? This is Kevin from Warren.
Yeah, Kevin.
I'd like to throw this question open to either Martin or Bill. Caller called up and asked about the Red Wings picking up John Van Boxmeer. Now, in the waiver draft, there were a few other players that seemingly could help the Wings, like Cam Connor for one, Norman Aubin, even Grant Mulvey. Now, there are a few players on the Wings, Ted Nolan and Brian Johnson, to name a few, that possibly could have been
replaced.
What do you think about that?
I'm not sure about Cam Connor. I think Grant Mulvey could have helped the Wings. You know, yesterday most of the questions were directed about McCourt, and the Wings, Devilano was in conference for most of the day and working on the draft. There hasn't really been a chance to ask him specifically about all the other names that were thrown around, but I think it's safe to say that the draft this year was a little better quality than of last year, and some of those other players certainly are better than the players the Wings are starting the season with.
I talked to Jimmy about the draft, and he said at no point were they tempted by any particular player. And you know, there's so much involved there. You're talking about salaries, and you're talking about maybe guys who have two or three or four year salaries who are going to play in the minor leagues for you. I mean, if there's a guy there that you know is going to play, you're not going to hesitate to take him. I think of all the players, the name that appealed most to me was Dale McCourt, frankly. I thought that he could still play for the Red Wings. You know, I think he could play for the Red Wings for 2 years, but he's making an awful lot of money. And, you know, I think that, I don't think Dale McCourt's going to end up in the minor leagues. I think that somebody is going to call, Scotty Bowman and say, Scotty, if you buy him out or if you pick up a piece of his contract, you know, we'd like to have him. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think, obviously, Bowman wants to get rid of him, and he's not going to send him to the minor leagues and have to pay him $250,000 a year. Since I'm sure McCourt is on a one-way contract, you'd have to pay him that whether he played in the American Hockey League or the National Hockey League. And I think for much longer, somebody will, you know, somebody's interested in McCourt but didn't want to pay the $500,000, will probably cut some kind of deal.
And I agree with Farton, and I also would like to add that it's not out of the realm of possibilities that it wouldn't be the Red Wings if Kelly Kiesio and or Steve Yzerman don't prove themselves as NHL centers.
Kevin, thanks for the call. Both you gentlemen, as we're looking at game one tomorrow night, how important is it? It would seem to me that it would be very important for a team that's fairly young and going through, I guess, year number two of a rebuilding process to get off to a strong start. Barton, how about that? Do they need to get off to a good start?
I think you ask for trouble if you say that, you know, you got to win game one or game two. It's an 80-game season. And obviously, you know, if you win the first game, your spirits are high and things are positive and you're, you know, and you really, get keyed up for things, but sure, it would help to win. It never helps to lose. But you know, I think they're a very young team. Like I said earlier, I think it's going to take maybe 20 or 30 games for them to play their best hockey. I think they need that much time. So I don't know how much it's going to hurt or help if they don't win tomorrow night. Or Saturday night or Sunday night. Obviously, they don't want to start the season by losing eight in a row, you know.
Yeah.
That goes without saying.
Also, their first two opponents, Winnipeg and New Jersey, with the home opener on Saturday, are the easiest opponents they're going to face in a week or so. They go then to Chicago, then to Edmonton, then they play Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a weak team, but they never do well on the West Coast. So it would help them to win one of the first two.
Yeah, but the problem with Winnipeg is, even though they're now one of the better teams, they're going to be playing twice last season, they scored eight goals in the game against Detroit.
Exactly.
So they're a team that's given, even though they're not one of the strongest teams in the league, they've given the Wings a lot of trouble over the years and always scored a lot of goals against them.
Martin, you behave yourself up there in Winnipeg, and Bill's going to promise to get on a plane and go up there tomorrow, and I hope you gentlemen see a good hockey game.
Tell Bill to bring an overcoat and tell him to run by my house and bring my overcoat because it's something like 38 degrees and rainy and wet. Terrible.
Oh, my God.
Hockey weather.
Hockey weather, right?
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, both very much. Just a great job by both of you. A lot of knowledge, and we want to have you back on the show whenever you're free.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barton, and thank you, Bill McGraw.
Thank you, George and Skip.
Have a safe trip.
Tom Gage is in Baltimore. Let's talk about the White Sox and the Orioles in just a moment. Goals in just a moment. Goals in just a moment. Goals in just a moment.